don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street. There's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. The air is unfit to breathe, and our food is unfit to eat. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to ride. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crying in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. My life has value.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here's your host, Michael Storm.
At all. But what it did, you know, one of the coolest things about racing dirt bikes is that people don't look at it as a family sport, but it's absolutely a family sport. So you, even though we didn't have like a religious background or a political background or a philosophical background, we had a tight family unit. Like we had morals. And like as a kid, you're going to different dirt bike races and it really teaches you how to be an adult quicker than like team sports in high school did. It teaches you that like, hey, when I get out on the track, like I'm on my own. Like, you know, somebody can help me with the fundamentals and help me practice and point me in the right direction. But once that gate falls and you're out on the track, it's you and 39 other riders and you got to figure it out by yourself without help from anybody. And it really teaches you like ingenuity. Okay, like how do I be methodical about getting by this guy instead of just like crashing into him? You know, like I've got to think something out. Okay, I'm a little quicker in this section. He's a little slower there. So if I set up here, you know, for this section, I'm going to come out on the inside over here and I'll be able to blow right by the guy. And I think like those are good lessons in life as well. Like you're on your own in this life. Like you've got a family. You know, you've got kids and a wife and that type of thing. But in the end, like you live and die on your own and you've got to figure things out for yourself. And you can't just depend on other people to tell you what to do for the rest of your life. It doesn't work. You know, people, me as a kid, like I ended up getting into drugs and going off the rails in my 20s. And I had a bunch of people telling me that this was a bad move. I didn't listen because I had to figure it out on my own. You know, you could read a ton of different books about addiction and you can watch, I watched movies about it and everything, but you still kind of have to figure it out on your own.
Yeah. And I think that's probably one of the things that goes along with the people that I was raised by were smart and were sort of, you know, wanted to be cultured. We were still just poor white trash,
yeah.
But you know, we still went to the opera and we still went to the symphony and we did those things. But being an only child and a child of a single mother, I was on my own. I'm the epitome of the Generation X latchkey kid from the time that I was sort of 9 years old, if not younger, you know, on up through my mid-teens or so. I was alone every day after school and I had to make my own time and do my own things. And I had to take care of myself. I had to know how to, you know, go into the kitchen and make myself something to eat and not burn the damn thing down and that sort of thing. And so it's a huge independent streak. And I think that that's one of the things is key for people who really want to understand anarchism. If you don't already have that independent streak, if you're just a follower, you're a follower.
Yeah.
And it's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. You don't want to lead the pack. That's fine. And you don't have to lead the pack. That's the thing that they miss. I think a lot of them, they think that because you have leadership skills and leadership qualities that you actually have to lead. No, you can lead yourself. You can lead your own little band. You can have your own little family. You can raise your own little healthy, happy people that hopefully go out in the world and spread happy and healthy ideas around. You don't have to be a part of this system. I never wanted to be. I never wanted to be a part of any systems or any controls. I just wanted to be me. And if other people wanted to come along for the ride, this includes my wife, you know, or any mate or anything like that that I would want to have. I remember distinctly from a young age thinking, it's my ride. I'm driving and you're in the passenger seat and you're either coming along or you need to get out.
Yeah. Yeah. I was the same way as a kid. Like I got home from school and I hopped on my BMX bike and I was in the subdivision, you know, next to where we lived until it was dark, you know,
until it was dark.
Like I remember
until it was time for dinner.
Yeah, exactly. Like I remember I was never into like video games growing up. I never got into them until I was in my 20s, really. And then that lasted for a couple of years and I was out. But like my friends got into video games at one point, and I remember just not being interested. They're playing Mario Kart for hours and hours. And I remember I was supposed to like spend the night at a friend's house for a birthday party or something like that. And they're just sitting there playing Mario Kart for like 6 hours straight. And I'm just bored out of my mind. And I finally just got up and left. And like 2 or 3 hours later, somebody, you know, calls my house and they're like, where did he go? Is he gone? Like what happened? And my parents were like, oh yeah, he left. He was bored. He thought, you know, these guys are wasting their day playing video games. And he just decided to come home, you know, and that was just how I was. Like, I'm not going to sit there and watch you guys play video games for 6 hours because that's what you want to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to do what I think is fun. I'm not going to waste my time on what other people think I ought to be doing, you know?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's the point, right? Even if you did like video games, yeah. Well, maybe it's not that video game. Man. I don't want to play Mario Kart. I was never a big fan of Mario Kart myself. I preferred Need for Speed, personally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went through all those phases, man. I'm sure I suppose any active male does, right? Any male that's actually out there in the world is going to go through all those phases. He's going to go through, oh, what my friends are doing. Oh, that's kind of neat. Do I want to do that? No, I don't want to do that. Maybe I don't want to hang out with that person anymore. I think it's just natural. And I think some of us are just more in tune to it and are really willing and able to accept it. You know, when I decide that I don't want to do this, I don't want to be around that person, I don't want to be in that space, I just get up and I walk out.
Yeah. School was the same way, man. I'm sure you were like me, and I was terrible in school because I wasn't interested in what they were talking about. I had no respect for my teachers because I didn't think they deserved it. I thought they were just tools and, you know, you're doing the same thing, you know, and everybody would sit there and clap like seals, you know, and God, my teachers hated me. I hated them. At one point, like I was saying, my parents weren't, you know, on top of it. They were young when they had me. And at one point it was like, I just want to go on homeschool and get out of this place. It's just a nightmare. I can't stand it. Like they hate me. I hate them. Why am I even here? You know? Mm-hmm. And I remember we went into the office and we're like, my parents were like, oh, we're going to put him on homeschool. And they're like, no, you can't do that. And my parents were like, well, we tried, you know. And then looking back on it now, it's like, Jesus Christ, I can't believe they just let the school walk all over them like that. But they didn't know any better, you know. They were young and they thought that's what it was. And then, you know, like looking back on it now, knowing what I know, they didn't want me there. They didn't give about me. They cared about the money that they got for me every day. That was it. And they were willing to like destroy a kid's life in order to collect a couple $100 a day. Like that's just how sick teachers and schools are. Like public schools, this like Prussian system that we have to create good little slaves for the state is just an absolute disaster. And like, I hope it freaking goes, you know, pretty soon. Like my little brother, he's a stepbrother. He's like 12 or 13 now. And he's been on homeschool for like 3 or 4 years because the schools, even here in Idaho, the schools are bad. You know, my mom and his dad are older now and they kind of know what to look for in a good school and a bad school. And they finally decided like these, you know, the gender stuff, the queer stuff, like all of this stuff, we just don't want a part of it. So they put him on homeschool. He's not the smartest kid. Like he's very average and just totally not the smartest kid at all. He's like 2 years ahead of where he would be if he was in regular school right now. And, you know, he's going to graduate by the time he's 16 or 17 and be able to go and get an apprenticeship somewhere and be in the workforce and, you know, be a productive member of society without all of that programming. You know, he's still,
yeah, before they had that where you could just sit down in front of a computer and be educated like that, we went to alternative high schools. I attended an alternative high school for a short period of time. But yeah, I ultimately ended up graduating ahead of my class by completing through the alternative school. I finished my education ahead of my class. Because I was done with it. I was bored with it. I'm in the same space you are. I'm already too smart for these people. I was too smart going in. And I think a lot of people are, and they end up getting dumbed down by the education system. I'm sure we've talked about it before. There's a lot of things that are wrong with the education system, but there are two of them that would fix it, that would fix all of the other problems. Not making it compulsory, because it is compulsory. You have to attend, even if you don't want to, even if they don't want you there, you have to attend. So it shouldn't be compulsory, and it should be funded differently. It shouldn't be funded with the tax dollars of people who don't have people in school.
They shouldn't have to pay for other people's children and
education. That's the problem with all the public stuff when it comes to the money. But if you took those two things out of the schools, if you fund it differently, and you tell the parents and you tell the children, look, this is a place to come and learn. This is a place that you want to be. And you give them, they do so much better of it. I seem to remember being able to pick some things. You know, I could have a couple of electives or something. But now, you know, my boy is a freshman, and they have the whole 4 years planned out.
Yeah,
they got all 4 years planned out. They got all the courses that he's taken, and he's decided to do it. He picks every single one of them. He chooses the path that he wants to do. It's much more like college in that sense. Maybe things are getting better in a lot of senses. But until you get rid of the compulsory nature of it, and until you find a different way to fund it, it's a failure. It's going to be a failure. Yeah. There's nothing that can be done about it. It can't be fixed. It's never going to get better. You'd throw all the money in the world at it. It's one of these things where if you're looking at a graph where they show the sort of money and what the expenditures are, here's the teacher. They keep throwing more money over the years and years. And here's the teacher's pay. And just sort of creeping up a little bit here. And here's the administration. And so nothing's ever going to fit.
Yeah. My high school had a great auto shop teacher, and we were allowed to like pick electives too. So I spent most of my time in high school in auto shop. And like my auto shop teacher had the only like metric that they really cared about for some reason was how many kids we get to go to college. Like if we get some kid to go to college and waste his time and money, then that's a win for us, even though it's not a win for the kid. It's a win for us because we did something for society or whatever the hell they're telling themselves. And my auto shop teacher ended up having like an enormously high rate of people going to trade schools. Some of them were going to automotive school. Some of them were going to lineman school. Some were going to, you know, just different tech schools, not traditional college in any way. Like he had a guy who graduated a couple of years before me who like went to one of these technical schools and ended up working for NASCAR, you know, and he would come in and talk to us from time to time and tell us about NASCAR and this and that. And you know what they did for that teacher? They fired him. They fired him because we're not in serving the best interest of the children. If they're just going to technical schools and becoming mechanics and linemen and electricians, God forbid.
And here we are today, have a shortage across the board of people. But man, I'm a dude. I'm a dude. I got tools.
Me too.
And my hands get greasy and I smash my, well, I tried to drill a hole through my thumb not too long ago. I get out there and I play, and it just blows my mind. I just turned 53 a week or so ago here, and it just blows my mind. I meet somebody in their 30s or something. They don't have any tools.
I know it.
They don't know how to do anything. They don't know how to fix anything. They nothing. They can't do anything for themselves. And that's where we're at in our society. We have a system that is short the technical skills needed for things, like just simple things like plumbers, plumbers and electricians and mechanics and things like that. And the skills just aren't there. You know, people who make furniture, the skills just aren't there anymore.
Yep. I think that teachers and high school guidance counselors are some of the biggest villains in modern society because they are getting kids to go to these colleges that are not in their best interest. It's like what I was talking with bartending earlier. You know, if a kid is meant to go to college or not, they either have it or they don't, you know? And like you said, there's dude, when I went to line school for working on power lines, they told us that like one of the scariest stats in America right now is that 50% of the workforce in the entire electrical industry is within 10 years of retirement. How the do we do that? You know, how do we fix that? And luckily there are some kids who see,
well, you round up all the Mexicans and hard workers and lock them in cages. That's what you do. Apparently.
Dude, we just had this study in Idaho where they brought up all of these scientists and they did a study on the economy and immigration. And they came to the conclusion that if we went along with immigration policy in this country, that our entire economy would collapse. It's like, well, whose fault is that? You built an economy on cheap foreign labor and now you're freaking out when the spigot gets turned off. Like, that's your fault. That's not our fault. You know, there's a bunch of, and what I always say too, is like, there's a lot of jobs out there that Americans won't do. It's not that they won't do them because they don't want to do them. It's they won't do them for the price, because the price has gotten so low that if they go ahead and do that job, they're not going to be able to feed their families. They're not going to be able to have a decent life. Like, you know, a lot of the economic stuff, I tend to agree, like when Rand Paul talks about economics, like usually he's right. Like his dad was great on economics, and most of the time he's right on economics. But I saw a clip from him a couple weeks ago that just drove me nuts. He was talking about the middle class in America, and he's like, well, people who say the middle class is dying are wrong. There's more middle class Americans today than there ever has been in the history of this country. And it's like, okay, well, there's always a median number in every large sets of numbers. There's always a median range. So like, it's not about how many people are in that median range. It's about what the purchasing power of your dollars will do, how much money you're making while you're working versus how much that money will buy you. And the purchasing power of the middle class has fallen off a cliff. And we're at a point now where the average age of a first-time home buyer in America is 41 years old. Like, that's not a healthy middle class. That's a failing middle class.
Yeah, that's a middle class that doesn't have options.
Yeah.
That is a middle class that isn't a middle class anymore. It's a lower class. And the thing about it is that there's no reason for it in a naturally run economy. There's no reason for it. The economy will run itself. These people will not be displaced, but they're displaced because of the debt. The debt that's been created, the debt that's been created from things like student loans. That's part of it. This idea that everybody has to go to college and everybody has to get a education. You said these counselors and people are criminal. They're as criminal as the bankers that gave out the loans. They're as criminal as the government that said, hey, we'll guarantee the loans if you give them out. I absolutely believe that they're all three co-conspirators, and they can all three go screw themselves when it comes to things like the debt that they claim that we still owe them for things like student loans. How about this? How about if you hadn't destroyed the education market? How about if you hadn't cornered it and made everybody do it your way and see it your way, and we wouldn't be in this position. I know we wouldn't be in this position. We know this. We know this for a fact. You can see it, because what happens is that things will go along just perfectly fine for a long period of time. You pick anything. I don't care what it is. Pick anything in society. It goes along perfectly just fine for a period of time until somebody has a bad experience. And then that one bad experience turns into a political and social outcry. And then all of a sudden there has to be a change with this thing. This thing has to be changed. It has to be forced to be changed. It can't be natural. It can't. This can never happen again. We can never allow this to happen again. And so what happens is that the government ultimately ends up propping up bad everything, whatever it is. It doesn't, again, it doesn't matter. Pick anything. It doesn't matter whether it's the economy, a piece of the economy, whether it's an individual and their health concerns, whatever. It doesn't matter because they all up. They screwed it all up. It's all destroyed, and it's all for the benefit of them. It's all for their political power so that they can get the votes. When somebody says, oh, I made bad decisions and it worked out badly for me. We need to regulate this market now so that nobody ever has it again. Well, I can get votes for that. Hell, I better get in there and get me a law passed and make sure that these bad people in this economy over here can't do this anymore. These guys that do this thing over here, they can't do it that way anymore. And the problem with that is and you can't weed out bunk investments like that. You the money, the things, all aspects of this investment of time and energy and money or whatever it is into this thing, whatever it is, again, this thing, it doesn't matter, whatever it is all bunk investment. It's all based on a fallacy. It's all based on something that's not real. It's all based on, well, we were doing this for so long and now this has happened. And now, well, this is why you need to pay attention to this. This is why you need to get involved in it. This is why you got to put your money in it. This is whatever it is. Again, that's the thing about it. It is so far reaching. It's so broad that it touches everything. And they've infected and destroyed everything. If they pick a thing, pick anything out that you would call a problem in the world, and I can show you how government either caused it or made it worse.
Yep. Oh, this is a perfect, like, Pam Bondi goes in front of Congress to answer questions about Epstein. And what does she talk about? The Dow. But the Dow is so high right now. Why do we even care about these monsters who are raping kids at the behest of the federal government and Mossad? Like, that's not important. Look at the Dow. It's like, come on, lady. Like, what are we doing
memes
here?
I didn't hear her actually say that, I saw the memes, and so I knew what it was. That is hilarious because the Dow is such a useless economic marker, for one thing. It's everything that happens in the Dow means that everything good already happened. If you're seeing it on the Dow, that means all the good or all the bad or whatever it is, it already happened. It's too late. You missed it.
Yep.
You missed the boat. That's it. That's all there is to it. If you saw the numbers on the Dow, you're late. You missed it. And so it's useless to point at. It means nothing. These are the same people that for decades and decades have been collecting employment numbers and putting those out. And they put them out every month. And they say, 150,000 new jobs were created. 150,000 people went to work this month. And then come the end of the year. And this has only recently happened within the last few years where people have started to pay attention to this and a lot closer. And it keeps making the news, and they did it again this last year. And it's funny how they try to cover it up even after the numbers come out. So last year they were off by like a million jobs over the course of the year. And they come back and they try to tell us that they weren't off by anything. They try to make it sound like they're not off by anything, but they already admitted that they were off by a million. And it just, if they're that far, they're just making guesses, right? They're making guesses, and they've never guessed once correctly. Not once. And it's an interesting case. I had somebody on the show here a few weeks back. He was an economist. And the specific reason I had him on the show was ultimately that question of what is the sort of percentage of government guessing and getting things right? And you'd think, the normal person guesses and gets like 50-50, you know, not government, like 1 in 10. It's never right. Everything that it backs, it's never right.
and here's the deal. They're used to controlling the narrative. You would put out these great job numbers, and if you're a Democrat, these job numbers would go on CNN and they'd say, oh, look at how great the economy is. If you're Republican, they'd go on Fox News and say, look at how great the economy is. And meanwhile, 6 months later, a year later, even a quarter later, the real numbers would come out. None of the major, mainstream corporate news outlets would report on the real number. So it would end up in some obscure paper somewhere or some obscure journal or something like that. Yep. And normal people would never see it. But now we've got the internet where normal people are paying attention to this. where now it's not even a year later. A lot of times it's a month later, you know, where they go, oh, here's, we had, you know, however many jobs. And then immediately on the internet, people are pointing out, nope, you're a liar.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is that they still do it and they still get away with it. That's what's real weird about it, because of this disconnect between the political in the political spectrum. It's that disconnect between the two of them, because one is looking at one thing as a positive and the other one's looking at the same thing as a negative, because it doesn't bolster their political opinions and positions. And so they continue to do it. Yeah. So the numbers are done three times every year. They're done initially and in the month, and then they're adjusted by a quarter, and then they're by quarterly approximately, mm-hmm. just keeping up with numbers, having to turn in numbers, having to put in information. And then at the end of the year as well, they reconcile the numbers again. And so if there are 12 months in a year, and you're dealing in hundreds of thousands, you're dealing in numbers of hundreds of thousands, 150,000, 200, 225,000, something like that, somewhere up less than a quarter of a million or so, but more than 150,000. So somewhere in these numbers. And if you have your sort of February and you say, well, 150,000 people have jobs, but then by the time we get to the end of the year and they've revised it and only 50,000 people have jobs, well, you do that 12 times a year, that's 1.2 million jobs you were off by.
And they set the metrics, right? Yeah. They set their own metrics and they change them all the time. Like during COVID, they changed the definition of what a recession is, so they wouldn't have to admit that we were in a recession, you know?
Yeah.
And like one of the things I try and like explain to my little brother is like, look, dude, the state is not as red and blue as people think it is. Like they argue about these obscure cultural issues, but in the end, they're always on board with the same things. War and monetary policy. The whole game is to bomb as many people as you can to expand empire and print as much money as you can to enrich your donors. That's the game.
Well, and that's the system, because that's how the system stays alive. And so then what happens 250 years later? It's collapsing. It's not doing great. You have the ratcheting effect that we've talked about before, that it never comes back down. That's the point of a ratchet, is once it goes up, it can't go back down. And so we have a ratcheting up of our political system. It never comes back down. So it never gets back to us. It never gets back to the individual. It's always about them. It's always about the system. So that's what they do. But then make it worse, and you get somebody who is already narcissistic, who is already dangerous, who has already proven himself to be a violator of other people, whether it's their property or they themselves, and readily admits it as long as his name's not associated there. I'm sorry, am I talking about a person? I wouldn't be talking about an individual. That couldn't be. And so the guy's already of a mind like, well, I'll do whatever the one, I'm going to become the president. What the f- do about it? And then somebot takes a pot shot at him. For real. Just imagine this. There's a lot of people running around say, oh, well, somebody shot this guy. It was fake. He let somebody shoot him in the ear or whatever they want to make up. Let's just assume it's real. You're this guy. We know this guy. We've seen this guy. We know this. He has a history. This is the guy who said in Time Magazine or People Magazine or something like that if he was going to run for president, he'd run as a Republican because of the dumbest people on the planet. They'll fall for anything, that sort of thing. And so he did. We know this guy. We know, we've seen him on TV. We know his history, you know, half a dozen failed companies and bankruptcies and stuff, and he just uses the force of government to steal property from people. I mean, the guy's a piece. All right, so he's not going to be any better in a position of power. But what happens is one day when he's running and he thinks, "Oh man, I'm gonna get this thing. I'm gonna go in there. I'm gonna do it right this time. I'm gonna do it my way." First time he's in there, he's just a megalomaniacal douchebag, narcissist, everything that he is, but he's afraid, you know, there's still a world out there. Now you take a shot at this guy, and suddenly he realizes he's not safe. Even as president, it doesn't matter. He's not safe. He's not safe from some psycho on the left, some weirdo who thinks they're a woman, who believes that it's okay to touch children, whatever the hell it is that these, but because that's what they see. It doesn't matter who they really are. It doesn't matter who a liberal or a person on the left really is. What they see from the right is dudes in dresses and bitches with blue hair losing their minds and screaming in people's faces. And well, okay, they're out there. But if you see that, you're going through and you realize I'm vying for the most powerful position in the world.
The history.
I'm about to be the most powerful. I have been the most powerful man on the planet. And somebody could still kill me. Yes, I am looting this burg six ways from Sunday. You are getting it good. Bend over because here it comes. That's the man that you have in the office of president right now, a guy that was already bad, and then all of a sudden people tried to kill him. And now he don't care. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. He's going to do whatever the hell he thinks is right. He's going to push his power around, and he's robbing everybody. I mean, before he was a few months into his presidency, he had made millions of dollars schlocking this digital crap.
I know it. Yeah.
Digital coins.
Yeah. It's crazy. You know,
it is. It blows my mind that people can't even see it. I can't even. If I try to say to somebody that somebody shot the president, they're like, oh, that was fake. He made that up. He did that himself. No, one of you leftist psychos got a hold of a gun, took a shot at some other psycho, and didn't get him. You didn't get him. If you're going to take a shot at the king, you got to kill him. And they didn't get him. And now, holy, Katie, bar the door, because this guy he's on the loose.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy, man. Like, he ran on all this America First propaganda, I would call it at this point, because, you know, in his first term, the neocons hated him when he was running in 2015.
Populist
Ben
president.
Shapiro, Lindsey Graham, Marco Rubio, they all hated him because he didn't want to go to war. And now remember when he was running, when he said that, oh, I'll end the Ukraine and Russia war before I'm even in office.
Yeah, before he's even sworn in.
Meanwhile,
yeah.
People are still getting thrown into the meat grinder. And, you know, we're still funding that war. He just had Bibi Netanyahu back to the White House for the 50th time or whatever in his second term. And he gave him a key to the country. You know how back in the day, if you saved a kitten from a tree, here's the key to the city. He gave him a key to the country. And it's like, oh, like he didn't already have that? Like, what is this? You just rubbing our noses in it?
Yeah, no, that's it, right? He already could do whatever the hell he wanted, whenever the hell he wanted. Yeah.
And meanwhile, like, now Trump has turned on some of his biggest and best supporters, like Marjorie Taylor Greene's kind of, you know, whatever. But she was at least America First. Thomas Massie is like the only good member of Congress at this point, and he's completely turned on Thomas Massie, calls him a rhino, which is the funniest thing, because like
the
Trump,
opposite.
You are the rhino. Like,
yeah,
you're
he's
just
the rhino.
You're just an authoritarian liberal pretending to be a Republican. Meanwhile, Thomas Massie is like the only true conservative in Congress, and he's the rhino because he won't vote for your and he wants the Epstein files to be released. It's
everything upside down, flipped around, backwards. It's if you're only paying attention to one side, you don't know nothing.
No,
you are so clueless. I don't even know how people can do it. And I guess that's it, right? They don't do it. They just show up at the polls sometimes and throw a vote down for whatever they think is on their side. And it just gets worse, and it never gets any better. It's crazy.
Nobody's on our side.
We've made every reason, every tool, every dollar, and it hasn't fixed anything.
No.
Nothing.
No, it's not going to get any better. You know, this is one of these things where when I was in the hospital after I got electrocuted working on power lines, it got to a point where like you had to cut the arm off. Otherwise, the necrosis was going to spread to my entire body and I was going to die. So you have to get rid of it. You have to cut it out and you have to get rid of it. And all of these reformists who are running as Republicans, you know, are just part of the game, because like at this point, the entire thing is rotten. You know, my buddy sent me an interview of RFK on Theo Vaughn the other day, and I watched it, and it's like, yeah, okay, he's doing some good things. But the real problem is as soon as he gets out and some other shill for corporate America gets back in there, he's just going to undo everything he's done with a swipe of a pen. It's going to go right back to normal. Like, you have to get rid of these institutions if you want actual change, you know? Like, if you want companies to be producing better food so Americans aren't poisoned every day, get rid of the HHS, get rid of the FDA, so smaller companies can come in and produce actual good foods. Make it possible for a farm. Like, I have my neighbor is a cattle rancher. He can't sell me a cow if he wanted to, because if he gets caught selling me a cow, he loses everything. Why is it that I don't have the ability to decide where I buy my meat from? It makes no sense whatsoever. Like, he has lost all of his property, almost all of his property, and most of his cattle because of inflation. It's a disaster. And like, if you got rid of these institutions, I could go and buy a cow from him. Prices would adjust. He could sell it to me cheaper than the grocery store could, because he doesn't have to pay for all the overhead and all the transport and all that bullshit. Like, prices would adjust. The quality of food would adjust. If, you know, you've got nasty potato chips out there, some guy can go, hey, look, I can make potato chips in my garage right now. And, you know, I could scale up from a garage to a warehouse to a big warehouse, but all the regulations and all the rules and all the red tape is going to make it absolutely impossible for me to do that. So like, get rid of these institutions, give us some actual choice. Let us have a price discovery within the market and like weed out the good from the bad.
Yeah, it'd be nice if they would let that happen, but
they won't. The whole point of the FDA and all these, you know, institutions is to entrench power within these corporate monopolies.
Yeah.
That's the game. You can go ahead and you do XYZ for us and you've got a nice cushy executive job or a seat on our board when you get out of office.
It's like a bunch of little children playing fort in the yard, you know,
cops and robbers.
They take all the stuff and they build all it up and they say, oh, well, I shot you, you're dead. You know, they make up all the rules. You know, you know how it is. When
make
you
up
play.
As they go.
You didn't get me. You missed me. You can't do that. You can't have more powers than I have. You can't, you know, this is exactly what's going on in our government. And it leads to the same thing. People frustrated at the end of the day and everybody takes their ball and goes home. Except that we're kind of locked into this. We're all stuck. If we could take our ball and go home, so many of us would. We'd pack it in. We'd say goodbye to all of this. But they don't know how. They don't. And how can you when they've got everything? They captured everything. You can't do anything without their permission.
I think every America First Republican that's fed up with the way things are going right now should not vote in the next election, regardless of who's in there. Like, I don't know what J.D. Vance is going to run on. He's going to be put in the exact same position that Kamala Harris was in her last election, where it's like, I can't rebuke Trump and say that he did a bad job because people will turn on me. And so what? I'm just going to run on the same exact thing that Trump did. And, you know, even if he comes out and says, okay, well, I'm actually going to release the Epstein files, there's a good portion of the population that goes, I don't believe you. I think you're a liar, just like the last guy. So I think like voting is so important. We got to have more people voting. And just don't vote. Just go and let the Democrat, just let Gavin Newsom destroy J.D. Vance. Teach these people a lesson. If you want to get elected, you're going to have to throw us some red meat. We know for, you know, like me and you know that they're not going to throw us anything significant, but at least push policy in a decent direction for once.
Yeah. Can we at least pretend like they don't have any power if there's nobody to laud power over? If there are none of us left, who are they? Who's the power for? Who are they impressing, themselves?
Like the key tenet to anarchism is all of this fake. All of this government is fake. It exists in the minds of human beings and nowhere else. Paper, you know, like this stuff is all fake. And we have the power in this country. We've just given it up because we want to, you know, have it easy and watch football.
Well, it makes sense to not, you know, I'd say it a lot. You don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. I know it's a weird saying, but I think it makes the point really clear that there's a reason that certain things were done the way they were and why certain language has been used in the sort of framing of what this nation would be and who people are and what rights are supposed to be and things. None of that is carried over. None of that exists anymore. It was, and that was the problem with it to begin with, is that you can't, that there was no way to do it. You could pretend like you were setting up a system, but if you're giving up power, then that system is eventually going to take everything. It's going to take all the power. They tried to warn that, you know, the framers tried to warn them about that when they're setting up this nation. They tried to warn them if they did things the wrong way, that it wasn't going to work. It was just going to end up like everything else. And it may have taken a little longer,
you know,
but we're just still as bad off as every other third world country, basically. Yeah.
A republic, if you can keep it. We couldn't keep it.
And you could never keep it. No. That was the thing
That's the whole point of centralized power. As centralized power grows, it gets more powerful. It's this big Leviathan. And, you know, what do they call those things where you got multiple heads and you got to cut off the right head? Like, there's so many heads.
The Hydra.
There's so many heads to the Hydra right now that you have no clue which head to cut off.
Yeah, no, and it doesn't matter because it stays alive with all the other. You got to cut off all the heads.
Yeah.
That's what you were saying earlier about you actually have to make some kind of change if you want to see some sort of change. There's been no change. Nothing has changed. Not a single thing has changed. And I keep just trying to point this out to people and say, what are you talking about? What changed? Well, what do you mean? Oh, well, there's a new president and they have new policies and stuff.
What new policies?
But the economics is still the same. It's the same dollar. It's the same welfare system. We talked about this back before Trump was elected, right? Because we talked about the Project 2025 thing. So I read through the thing. I actually read the document. And said, oh, it's just the usual Republican wish list. They're saying the same thing that everybody says when they say they're going to get empowered. They all say the same thing. I'm going to take this over here and I'm going to move it over here and I'm going to make sure everybody's loyal to us we got to be America first, whatever it is. We just make sure everybody's on the same team, basically. And we're going to move this over here. We're going to move this over here and we'll reshuffle this around and we're going to restructure this. But what none of, and then I went over this over and over and over again every time I talked about it. I said, the one thing that they never said is they're never going to cut anything.
Dude,
they're never going to change anything. They're never going to stop spending the damn money.
I did a word search on Project 2025 for abolish. It didn't come up more than a couple times. And it was like, okay, they used it, but they're not actually abolishing anything. Like you said, they're just moving power from one area to another and making it bigger. Yeah, they're not abolishing shit. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's all very funny. And it would be laughable if you were to sit back and watch it as a movie. It'd be Keystone Cops laughable. But when you're living it, it's just danger. It's danger of every turn because it gets worse. It doesn't just get worse for us out here, the economy, the numbers, things like that. It gets worse out here across the board because as bad as it is for me, how bad is it for everybody else who's completely clueless, completely useless, doesn't want to do doesn't have any drive or motivation to do anything, to raise above their station? They're not even capable of it. It's just going to get so much worse because there's nothing to ever stop it from getting worse. We know they're not going to do anything about it in the political system. And we can't do anything about it here. And the reason we can't do anything about it here is exactly what I was saying, is that so many people believe, and I agree, that you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. But we've got dirty bathwater.
Yeah.
And we got drown. A bad baby. Maybe we got to start over at some point. If you go back and you look at it and you say none of it worked from the beginning, then it doesn't matter. No fix along the way, no tweaking of this, no repairing of that, no changing of this attitude, no changing of that law or position is going to change the direction of things. You have to stop. You have to start. You got to triage.
Yeah. Got to cut the arm off at some point, right? So this
we
is
know
a small,
this metaphor.
This is yeah, I know this metaphor very well.
You know this metaphor very well.
This is a small anecdote, but I think it's like a very interesting microcosm for like what we're
Absolutely.
Dealing with on a scale, a large scale. So like there's this family, I don't remember what state they're in, but they're somewhere back east, and their kids are into riding dirt bikes. So they've got some land on their property, they build a track. And pretty soon they're like, oh, well, let's have the family friends over to ride on the track. And at some point, there's like, well, we've got a really good track and we've got a lot of people that want to ride out here. So we're going to create a business and make it a training facility where people can come. They can camp out on the track. They can live here. They can train and everybody can have a great time. Well, some that is like the city manager of the city got a call from one of their neighbors who is sick of the noise. This neighbor has lived there for less time than the people have had the motorcycle track. He moved into an area with a motorcycle track.
Where it was already
and now he's complaining. They got an injunction to shut down the track and they sent cops out there to arrest people if they ride. This and the guy who's the city manager is like 22 years old. He's never had a real job in his entire life. He's fresh out of college, going into government as a career, which should never happen. Bad. Government should be something that you do when you're 50 or 60 and you've got free time to give back to the community that's given you a good life and you want to protect them from the, you know, forces of power that is going to destroy
morons.
Them and steal their. So this 22-year-old guy is willing to take away things, the thing that children love most on their own private property for the sake of some Karen who doesn't like the noise.
Who knew the noise was there to begin with.
Who
that's the
knew
thing
the
that
noise.
Gets me.
Yep.
Yeah, well, that's the same argument that you get from the people that are having a problem with the immigration and the migrant workers and things. It's the exact same argument that you know why you come here and try to change things and turn them into the same shithole you just came from. And I get that argument. I understand that argument. But again, the failure is with the system, even yep. with these like the migrants, the immigrant workers, they don't come here for no reason. They come and if the argument is that they come here because of welfare or because they can vote and participate in the system, well, you're supposed to be able to. So why is that necessarily a problem? Oh, because they don't hold the same views and same mm-hmm. values, and so now you don't want them to vote. Well, there's already a process for that. It's called, I don't know, it's one of those amendments.
Yeah.
One of those amendments is very clear, very clearly states that only citizens can vote. So
yeah.
And that makes sense.
Yeah.
Voting is something that is a privilege for citizens.
And
so
the game
sense.
is they don't really care if the immigrants vote or not. What they want to do is pack them into areas where they can change the electoral
where they
makeup.
Can change the electoral
so
map
can,
so that yes
can,
that's
yep,
it exactly.
We can go and do
and
a
so
census and say oh
voting,
this person this area
a,
gets another representative in Congress
yeah.
that's
yes,
the game
and yes
you
yeah.
know
so it's not about these immigrants, it's not about the problems with them.
It's a big game of
it's
chess.
It's the system that allows it to happen. It's the system that says, hey, if you bring a bunch of people in here, whether they vote or not, but they can constitute a voting bloc, you can rearrange things. That whole idea that the whole idea of rearranging voting blocks and stuff, that to me just blows my mind.
Yeah.
That whole idea that the Republicans can get into office in a town, it could just be your town. And they can restructure the voting system around it to where they try to hold power.
Mm-hmm.
How what?
Yeah. And like, I don't, I don't like that we have a massive immigration problem and they're stealing jobs Americans. And like, but what are you going to do about it? Like, look at what.
Well, you certainly don't take people's rights away, spend a bunch more money violating people on the street to not solve the goddamn problem.
And you're making this massive federal police force where they're offering people $50,000 for a sign on. And like, that's the real game is like, let's make this massive federal police force. Like I brought up Rand Paul earlier and he has a solution to this, which I don't love, but I don't hate it either. And like, I think the immigrants wouldn't like it either. So this is like a non-zero sum game where kind of everybody's going to be unhappy with this compromise, but it might be the best way to go. His idea is if you're already here, if you break the law, you go. But if you're here and you work and you contribute, you can stay, but you're not a citizen. You can't vote.
Yeah. I don't care about voting. I don't care about citizenship. I don't care about these things, but I get them.
Mm-hmm.
I understand them. Mm-hmm. And I'm not the one that gets to decide for everybody else, for the 350 other million people in America. It's not up for me to decide whether or not they should have closed borders. I'm no more in a position to tell them that the borders have to be open than I am to tell them that they have to be closed. It's not my property.
Yeah. And I think we're both on the same, you know, you've got Texas landowners that have border on their property. And that's
Texas
like
Texas landowners solve the problem.
Yep. Let them have at it. If somebody comes onto my property, I'm going to shoot them. All borders should be private.
No more crazy sneaking across the line.
Yeah. And if you're one of these bleeding heart liberals who just loves to have immigrants come over because we're saving them from horrible living conditions and blah 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 blah, well, you can sponsor them, and if they come over, they can live in your house, they can do your lawn and whatever they want, and if they get in trouble, it's on you.
Maybe
you have to
you.
Get in trouble as well. Like, this is stupid.
I you know, it's funny. It's funny being in the system, being here, being in it all, and still being outside of it and living it, just existing outside of it all, because you can look at things so much more objectively. It's like I've been using AI to do some programming here lately. I've been a code writer for 40 years, and so I started using AI here to help me with it, and it gives me a new perspective. You know what I get to do as the guy who tells a machine what to do? To produce something for me, I get to sit back and I get to look at the bigger picture, and I get to look at it from every angle. And I don't have to think, how do I solve problems? I just have to think, this is what I need done. You figure out how to do it, machine. And I'll tell you how to do it. It's the same thing. Yeah. I'm having fun being inside and outside the system at the same time, understanding that, yeah, of course, you can't have a nice run, healthy system with people just pouring in over your borders. But okay, so that's just one problem. How do you solve that problem?
Yes.
I think we know how you solve that problem. You stop forcing American values on other countries. You stop providing the welfare systems, you stop allowing restructuring of our political system, and you start counting individual votes. These are the only ways to solve this thing in their system. I know how to solve it outside of their system. You burn it down, and any of the who want to try to push you through it, you guillotine their asses, and that's the end of that. But we're not at that point. We're never going to be at that point. So then if you had to look at what are you going to do within the system? Well, if you have the system, how about it just work for the people? How about it be what you say it is? That's the thing that blows my mind so much about all of it, especially with what we're going through now with the political right. You have been gung-ho all this time about gun rights and about individualism and about small government and about keeping them out of your home and about this militarized police force, this national militarized police force, never wanted anything like that. And right now they're just bowing down, sucking shit in. They're just taking it in. And that to me is, you're not even You're not even pretending anymore to pay lip service to the values that created this system. It's every man for himself at this point.
Yeah. And I think that's a major problem in right-wing America right now. They kind of think that, hey, silver bullet, we get rid of all of the immigrants, we get rid of all of the illegal immigration, and we're going right back to 1950s America again. And like, they're missing the forest for the trees. Just because you get rid of the immigration problem does not mean that our economic problems just all of a sudden get better overnight. It doesn't mean that the government's going to stop printing money and putting us – we're at like, what, $40 trillion in debt right now that they're never going to pay back. We're also at a point, like, there was an interesting tidbit from Rubio the other day where he was talking about how essentially the dollar is not going to be the world reserve currency in the next 10 years because we've destroyed the dollar and all of these other countries are deciding, hey, we want to trade in Chinese money or Russian money or maybe cryptocurrency or gold or whatever it is. But like, the dollar itself is on a steep decline that is just not going to stop. Doesn't matter what you do with immigration. Like, our economic problems are so bad right now that there's no single fix to it. There's no, and also this other, you know, ridiculous idea from right-wing America that if we just get the good people in charge, then the government will go back to being a force for good again. No, we just have
to
elect
end up
the
with
good
a dictatorship.
People. Yeah.
That's where we're headed. We're headed to a dictatorship because it's what you were talking about earlier with Kennedy. And all the changes that he's made, and pick any one of them, any of the things that are going on in the federal government under Republican leadership, they're doing this with a mind that these things are important, but the only way that they can keep them in place is to keep power.
Yeah. Dude, when I was in college, like, all of the books that I was reading about, like, climate change was one of the – I was a business major, and I didn't pay to go to college. Like, I – got paid to go as like a retraining thing after I got hurt. And nice. Like, I could go into a whole thing about that. But anyways, like, the books were written while Trump was in his first term. And by the time I'm reading the books, he's out of office and Biden is in. And like, one of the things the books are complaining about is like industry capture. He's putting people into the EPA that are against climate change and he's destroying policy and environmentalism is going to die and blah, blah, blah. By the time I'm reading these books, everything that he had been done away with the swipe of a pen. It was all moot. It was a moot point. Like, there, none of it mattered anymore. And it's like, okay, so what, are you just going to write new books again? Like, it's so dumb to think that anything that they're doing is going to be a lasting change because they're just going to go back to the way things were as soon as another Democrat gets back into office.
Except that
again.
It doesn't. That's the thing about it. It doesn't go back. That's the ratcheting. They switch it back, but government's bigger. Government's more powerful. They look for another law or another program or another thing to help try to keep themselves in place and in power. They've reorganized another district. They've done whatever it is to try to keep themselves in power. That's all they're doing right now. That's all they've been running around doing for the last year, trying to figure out how they're going to snake more votes and steal this thing away from them. And if that's the best that we have, what that's tit for tat. That's the best we got. That's it. That's all our government's ever going to be, is tit for tat of right wing versus left wing while the rest of us struggle out here to try to make it work while these motherfuckers rob us. I think that's all it's ever been, but.
Yeah. It's. Yeah. Oh, man. I can talk to you all day.
Yeah, always. I know this we could, great. But I'm we sure could. I've got things to do.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. I never have shit. So it's always good for me to go.
No, okay.
I want to get you out of here because
I have family.
You have a family.
Something.
You have a job. You have a life. Like, we don't need to be screaming.
I don't have
about
a job.
Things.
I own a comic book shop.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
In fact, I don't even get paid.
Hey, it's at least you're happy and you're having fun doing what you
Hell
love.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know. I yeah. Anyways, all right, and all right, like we.